Okay. Welcome back. We have a very special guest coming up in just a few minutes. He's getting organized over in England right now. Father Paul Kramer is back for a second visit to shed light and shine light on the very murky and dark Vatican. A lot of things going on there that are not public knowledge. Certainly Father Kramer knows about it. I think you heard last time, if you heard him when he was on last time, you heard some pretty amazing things. We will revisit those things and other things as well. Welcome. How are you? I mean, how are things looking to you as you watch the world situation and all of its agony and grief, which is what it is, and it's all being done with great intent. But how do you view it, Father Kramer?
I have been observing for decades the world events. So I try to be able to forecast, not with precision, I'm not a prophet, but I try to forecast what are the approximate events that are going to take place. Already back in the 1970s, I spoke about the soon there will be a resurgence of Islam, and people were telling me, no, that will never happen. But then there was Ayatollah Khomeini and all of that. It all happened.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been able to foresee these things since the 1970s. I'm surprised it's taken so long for things to develop as they have developed. Well,
wait a minute. Hold on. Develop. How about caused to develop? This is all programmed,
yes,
as you know.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it is. That reminds me, I was speaking about the third secret of Fatima last time, and
yes.
Malachi Martin, in one of his interviews, he spoke about the New World Order in relation to the secret of Fatima.
Right.
And he said because he's under an oath, he can't give the precise details. Now, I understand that because in investigations, a number of times I had to make the same oath. So you can't reveal what transpired in the proceedings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what he said was that it's very cut and dry, and it strictly implies a negative judgment against the New World Order. Now, he was under oath. He couldn't say any more. But a few years earlier than when he received the text of the secret,
uh-huh.
Cardinal Stritch heard the secret and read by Pope Pius XII.
Mm-hmm.
And a priest by the name of Father Lawrence Emmett Hughes summed it up in a meeting with his extended family. And he said that in the secret it says that the followers of the devil, the followers of Satan, whatever, I can't remember the precise terminology he used, but sect that is known to be a demonic sect would gain power over all the governments of the world. So Malachi was talking about the New World Order and the capital goods and the flow of capital goods. We're talking about finance and
world economy. Sure, the flow of money. Now you're talking about Malachi Martin. That's what you're talking about.
Yes. So he's saying that the third secret of Fatima is dealing specifically with this, and that is confirmed by what Cardinal Stritch revealed. So I'm frequently telling people, the secret of Fatima is a worst case scenario. It is the conspiracy theorist's worst dream come true.
Whoa. All right.
So everything that excoriated by the liberal media as being conspiracy theories and nonsense, in fact, this is the very substance of the secret of Fatima, and it's been around for a long time. Before he became Pope, Benedict, as Cardinal Ratzinger, revealed about the third secret, and he said it corresponds to what is in other previous messages, apparitions of the Virgin Mary. And we go back to the 1600s in Quito, Ecuador. There's a church there built in honor of the apparition that took place there to Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres. And the Blessed Virgin there spoke about the sect, gaining this incredible power over finance. Well, the sect, we all know what that sect is. It's
yes.
As John Kennedy, President Kennedy, in 1961, spoke about the secret societies with their oath and their handshakes. Without saying the word, we know exactly what sect he was talking about. At the opening of the Second Vatican Council, Father Pedro Arupe, the superior general of the Jesuits, believe it or not, spoke about militant atheists having control over media, over academic institutions, over finance, over all the corporate interests, that they had control over these things. And he said this back in 1962.
Now, you called them, Father Kramer, you called them, or he referred to them as, interestingly, militant atheists. Now,
yeah.
If I am not a biblical expert, but I do know a little bit, and did he not throw this very group out some days before he was crucified, talking about Jesus Christ? It's the same people.
Yes.
Okay. I got the affirmative. All right. Very good. Go ahead.
Well, there is a continuity from, I won't say from the time of Jesus Christ, but even before. There was a continuity of this anti-God movement that has been around.
One other thing, Father Kramer, these people they often speak of God as if in a reverential state of mind, and yet most people would view them as certainly atheist or atheistic in their general approach toward money, control, power, international intrigue, you name it. They are only 0.3% of the world population, and yet look at the astonishing control and power they wield. This goes back. This is nothing new. It's old. But nothing changes. Things stay pretty much the same.
The amazing thing is it does not take a great extensive conspiracy for conspirators to succeed in gaining power over a region, over a country, or in today's world, over the entire world.
Go for
the
money, and you own the game.
The technology we have today, yes.
Yeah.
The money system is so determined by the technological apparatus they use to apply their measures throughout the world, that they can shut off entire countries if they want to, and they have done it at times.
Yes, they have. Yes. You know what I'd like to do, if I might, Father Kramer, not to get off subject, I want to get back to this subject, but for our listeners who might have missed your first visit, this is very important, and let me just summarize it, and then you can correct what I'm maybe going to say improperly or not complete enough. But for all of you who don't know, Pope Benedict the 16th, remember Pope Benedict? Some of you might remember that he stepped down as Pope some years ago. He was elected the 265th Pope at the age of around almost 80, the oldest person to have been elected Pope. Well, Pope Benedict the 16th didn't resign the papacy. He didn't step down. He was overthrown. There was a coup in the Vatican. And Pope Benedict, who is in his 90s now, has been held prisoner for the last, what is it, nine years, Father Kramer? He's been held prisoner in the Vatican.
Yeah. Since 2013.
There you go. Okay. I just wanted to make that clear. Please add to that and clarify anything I missed. I think people need to know this and keep it in mind. It's not the right pope in there now. The guy's an imposter.
That's true. That is correct. That is correct. In fact, I've very carefully put together an entire volume just on the question of Benedict versus Bergoglio, who calls himself Francis. And with the doctrinal and legal basis for the judgment I make, the entire work of two volumes comes out to 1,300 pages. So I'm not just shooting off my mouth when I say this.
You've done your work.
Benedict the 16th is the Pope of the Catholic Church, and Francis is not. And what people do not generally understand is the significance of this, because it's all foretold in the Secret of Fatima, and the Secret of Fatima, of course, corresponds to what is revealed in Scripture. And even for those who are not Catholic, those who understand and believe in the Bible, they would understand the significance of the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, when he speaks of the mystery of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the very substance of the Secret of Fatima. And that's what Cardinal Ratzinger has said, that those end-time prophecies in Scripture correspond to what is in the Secret of Fatima. And he speaks of the operation of error, St. Paul does, of the operation of error, of the son of perdition, the man of sin, and of course we read in the Apocalypse, Book of Revelation, that there will be a global dominance where you will not even be able to buy or sell without their approval. That will be the total dominance, a full spectrum dominance that they will have over. Over economy, over politics, and over religion.
And individuals cradle to grave, I might add. That's the game. That's where they're headed. And they're almost
there.
That's
right. They're almost there, but they will be defeated. And that's the wonderful thing about it's both in Scripture and in the message of Fatima, where the message of Fatima was really given to remind us of what is already there revealed in Scripture. Well, we know who will be the victor. The kingdom of Christ is not of this world. That's what he said to Pontius Pilate. My kingdom is not from this world.
That's a direct quote. I don't know this. I never heard that actually before. It may be common knowledge among those who study, but I didn't know that. He said that. I guess that was eyewitnessed and recorded by people back then. That could be interpreted many ways. Very interesting.
Yeah, but he uses in the Greek, I think it's ek tou tou kosmou. So he's saying my kingdom is not originating from this world. It is from the kingdom of heaven, and his kingdom is his kingdom on earth is. Has its power, its seat in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the kingdom of the Creator, and of course He cannot be defeated. The Lord of creation cannot be defeated. So we know who's going to win this war, and it will not be the sectarians. They will be defeated entirely. But what is happening? Before they gain this total dominance, and they will. There will be an oppression like there has never been in the history of the world. The Pope Pius XII, who read the secret, had some prophetic insight about it even before he read it. And he said, I think it was in 1946, he says, the world, mankind must soon undergo such suffering, such as the world has never experienced before. And then he read the Secret of Fatima in 1957, and he spoke of that movement that would take over the church and take over the world. And what we see taking over the church is a non-Christian, a new religion that is non-Christian. The whole idea of Christianity, of course, and a biblical religion as such, even before Christianity, the religion of the Israelites, is based on divine revelation. God spoke to the witnesses that he preordained to be his witnesses, the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament, and that they transmitted the revelation they received from God, the prophets directly from the Almighty, from heaven, and the apostles from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they commissioned, they handed on that mission to the church and to the ones they appointed to carry on that mission to the end of time until Christ comes again to mm-hmm. judge the living and the dead. Mm-hmm. So it's a very simple matter of divine revelation being entrusted to the apostles, and that message is to be handed on and preached unchanged. You can't devise a new revelation, a new way of understanding that changes revelation, because the original message is what was given as the law of God, and that can't be changed. The sense and meaning has to be what we received from the apostles. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, hold fast to the traditions that you receive from us, whether verbally or in written word. And so what he's saying is that we have to remain faithful to the message, the apostolic tradition, the apostolic message that the apostles themselves received from Jesus Christ. We can't change that. We have no power to change that. Whereas what they are doing is they are changing the sense of revelation as if revelation is something that comes directly to us. And we can interpret, we can reinterpret, I should say, not just interpret, we can reinterpret the data of revelation according to a different rule of faith, which is not faith in the word of those who were designated by God as his spokesman, the apostles and prophets, mm-hmm. but faith in our own judgment, the faith in our own mind, which is basically not faith. Faith is believing in the word that is received. Faith is not my understanding of things. And for Bergoglio, he always speaks of discernment, and he speaks disdainfully of those Catholics who see the necessity of maintaining a strict adherence to the doctrine that has been handed on down through the centuries. So it is a new religion. It is a form of Gnosticism. It is masked. It is, thinly veiled. It is a form of Gnosticism that is being the replacement for the Christian doctrine that we've had in the Catholic Church for 2,000 years is being perverted by these people, being twisted into a Gnostic religion. A counterfeit church is being created by Bergoglio, and it conforms to that false belief system of that sect, which I have spoken of in my books. And if I can name right. it, that sect
please.
Is Freemasonry.
Yeah.
That is Freemasonry. It is a Gnostic sect by their own profession. It is a Gnostic sect.
Correct.
And their notion, their idea, their concept of God is not what Christians believe to be God. And they profess what they call the ancient mysteries, which is paganism, which is it's a devilry is what it is. So this is what the third secret of Fatima is about, that these exponents of devilry will gain power over all finance and capital in the world, and they will exert a full spectrum dominance over the world.
Well, they're virtually there now. They will be there quite soon. There's nothing that's going to stop this, but I am told, maybe you can validate this, that after this terrible travail, death, suffering, grief, planetary-wide, is eventually over, and I don't know how quickly that will happen. We will have a golden age compared to what we're going through now. It will be far kinder.
We will.
Yes.
And it's not far off from now, because as the worse things get, the closer we are to the end. And like I said, that sect, who are they up against? The apostles are witnesses to the fact that it was a terrible storm, and they feared for their lives, and they thought their lives were in danger. And their master and Lord calmed the seas, and people said, the comment that was made and is recorded in the gospel is, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So he's going to calm the storm. The Lord of creation.
It's going to be, well, we could call that many things. Yes, Father, we can call it divine intervention. We can call it, well, that would be probably the most appropriate way to term it. We have need for intervention. We have lost our way. Our way has been largely taken away from us by deviltry, Luciferian deviltry. And now we need someone to guide us back to the right path, to clear the way for humankind to recover and to restore what it once had or was heading for. It's gone now. We're off the rails. How do you view it? Is that close to being correct? Divine intervention?
That is correct. It's not close. It is correct. The ancient church fathers spoke of this time, and they said it will appear as if the church will have been swept off the face of the earth. That this counterfeit church of heresy, and that's what Freemasonry calls itself, the church of heresy. I quote their own official publication. They say, we are the other church. We are the church of heresy. They are professedly Gnostics. And Gnosticism is devilry. They have gained power over the church. They've created this counterfeit church, and they will completely. When Benedict dies, especially after Pope Benedict dies, I think there will be a time of a few years, a couple of years, 2 to 3 years. When it will appear that the papacy is gone, that the Catholic Church is gone, there will be a counterfeit Catholic Church that will become universal in its place. And it will attempt to unite all religions together, but it's all a sham. The only religion they promote is Luciferianism. As Freemasonry says, your religion is your first name, but everyone's family name in this is Masonry. So as much as they will say they want to unite all religions, they don't want to unite all religions. They want to dominate the world with their own Luciferian religion.
Understood. And look at what their influence has done to humankind. Look around you. All of you listening understand pretty much where this program has always stood, and that's on the threshold of reality. We've always been looking in, trying to get there to present it. And I see young people now, there's nothing left inside many of them. They're empty vessels. They're just pop culture. There's nothing there. We need somehow to recover that which we were born with, Father Paul Kramer, and that which has been taken from us. It has. And it hasn't been difficult. When you own the media, the so-called media, you own the channels, the direct doors and entries into the consciousness of most everyone. And when you turn young people over to it and addict them to their screens on their little cell phones and whatever, and their movies and their pop culture, what else do they have? They don't know anything else. I don't blame them. They are truly victims. But to recover that, to recover that is going to be very difficult. And it will take time. It will take generations.
In the normal course of events, it would take generations, but there will be a divine intervention. And that we see already. These events are so great that already in thousands of years ago in the Old Testament times, they're foretold when the foundations of the world will be opened up. In the book of Psalms, for example, these are the times that we are approaching and that are that we're going to live through in the very near future, in the next couple of years. We're not talking about 20 years in the future. We're talking about in these coming years. What Bergoglio is doing is going to provoke the wrath of God in such a manner that there will be a divine punishment worse than the flood in the days of Noah.
Punishment to be observed by all of us, or to be involving all of us? Punishment. Will the planet be punished?
The planet will be punished insofar as the most human beings are rebelling against the law of God. They have been corrupted.
Yes.
This is the evil influence of this sect has corrupted the faith and morals of people all over the world, so that they have they've become so faithless and rebellious against the most of the basic principles of the law of God, which is, as the scripture says, the law of God is to be observed. Even this man Bergoglio says it doesn't have to be observed. It's good enough that it's the ideal that you strive for, but you don't really have to observe it. I mean, the man says this.
But Bergoglio has always left me rather repulsed. His appearance, his essence, his energy. I've never been around the man, but he always seemed bogus to me, pushing other agendas that are anything but kind, gracious, and the kinds of things that we're supposed to strive for. He is really antithetical to goodness. I do not like the man. I don't have a problem telling you. It's just my opinion. But I think, and now that what I've found out from you, what you've shared with all of us so succinctly and eloquently, that Benedict XVI has been overthrown, he's been kept prisoner in the Vatican. This is evil. This is pure evil.
Yes, and we're going to be paying the consequences very soon, because what we see, super rich sectarians, Luciferians, who control finance and such, have power over governments. They are deliberately attempting they are going to succeed eventually. They want to provoke a war between the United States and Russia. And I was just watching a State Department spokesman the other day. I couldn't believe the idiocy that is coming out of the mouth of these people. This man is talking about the Russian government has some nefarious plan, and there was a journalist present who was demanding some evidence, and in the State Department representative was absolutely clueless, completely clueless.
Of course, yeah. No, it's all reversed. It's reversed psychology. It's reversed reality. The attack on, and this is an ongoing thing, the attack on Russia, the world's largest Christian nation right now, is so transparent to anyone who really studies the situation that it's appalling to me that these State Department and others in our alleged government can get away with it without being laughed into utter derision. It just boggles the mind. I can imagine how you felt looking at this. It's all lies. It's lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. That's what our so-called foreign policy is over here, and the portrayal of Russia as being the villain and the corrupt media here. It's criminal. It's immoral. It's criminal. It's beyond corrupt. We have no journalism left here to speak of. Not much.
Yeah. These journalists, I think they're complicit. They're not just ignorant. Who can be ignorant of the fact that Crimea has been a part of Russia for centuries?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
The Tsars had their winter palace in Crimea. I mean, what could be more Russian than the very location of the Tsar's palace?
Yeah.
The people there are Russian. Now, there was an administrative under the Soviet Union. Crimea was made part of the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. So basically, it's like if you were getting part of the New York to Pennsylvania, it's the same country. It's still the United States. Well, in Russia, they did the same thing. It was the Soviet Union, and so Crimea was incorporated in the neighboring federal state, which was the Ukrainian SSR. But after the Perestroika brought about the collapse of the Soviet Union, that arrangement remained. So Crimea became part of Ukraine. But those people were Russian, and they have the right to be part of Russia, and they voted in a referendum to be Russian. Before that, you had the same thing in two regions of Georgia. You had South Ossetia and Abkhazia, which are ethnic Russian regions, and they were historically belonging to Russia. And they were discriminated against by the Georgian government, so to such an extent that they needed to be protected. And they voted to become Russian, and so the native population is more secure now because they are Russian people, and now they are part of Russia. They aren't treated like internal aliens the way they were treated by the Georgian government, and the same thing is by the Russians in Crimea. They were treated like internal aliens. Not first class citizens, which they were treated like second class citizens, or even citizens at all. They'd be treated like in practical terms like internal aliens. So they voted to become part of Russia, and so they're part of Russia. But the State Department is acting as if this is some kind of imperialistic power grab, expansionism, and that they're just going to conquer one country after another. But the worst thing is, with all these armaments and missiles that are being a great threat to Russia, are being put right on their border. There is nothing more provocative than putting aiming missiles at Russia, encirclement, surrounding Russia with nuclear arms and such. Of course, I can understand why the Russian government is extremely alarmed, and they will not tolerate beyond a certain point. And they've already said there's a line that may not be crossed, and that line is being crossed now.
How much longer do we? Go ahead, Father. Go ahead.
I really afraid we could see an outbreak of war by the end of this year.
I would suggest that's quite realistic, if not sooner. And I would also go back to what you said about Vladimir Putin being an extraordinarily patient, wise tactician, statesman. You didn't use those words, I am now, but the gist was there. He is
that. That's exactly what I was saying, yes.
they're trying to provoke him with virtually everything that they, the corrupt powers in the West, so-called West, have. And yet he will not take the bait. Not yet, anyway. And if he does move in to liberate Ukraine, which I hope he does, I hope he also will establish a buffer to keep these people are really nothing less than raging Bolshevik Marxist communists. And that's what he's up against. That's what we're up against.
And we have to look a little bit further beyond the immediate scenario of a war between Russia and the West. If you look at history, in past history, it's happened so many times that it's very predictable what's going to happen. If there's a war between Russia and the United States, there's always going to be a third party, a great power, which will be the beneficiary, which will rise to power and become dominant. And we know who that is. That's China. And China is the one they want to be the hub of the New World Order.
They are pushing very hard for it. The Communist Chinese Party, otherwise known as the CCP, has made no pretensions about their dislike. They hate Americans, many of them, not all of them, but they do hate the West, and they are positioning themselves militarily and financially to become the power of the planet. However, it doesn't appear that their plans are going to play out. There are too many other things now that are in the game, on the board, in the mix, that most people don't even see. And we'll find out soon enough. I think you know more than I'll ever know in many ways about this. But I don't see the Chinese succeeding as quickly as they think they're going to, if they ever do.
No, they won't. They won't. And what is going to happen to China? In a nutshell, I can predict it. I think quite accurately, China will after a war between Russia and the NATO forces, China will make its move on Russia. But what is going to happen then? You're going to have major changes. You're going to have a resurgence of Christianity, and you're going to have an alliance of Russia, Europe, and the United States. They will all together be more than sufficient to overcome the Chinese invasion, because the Chinese want to dominate the entire world.
They do. That's right.
And this is in the message, again, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared in the Philippines in the late 1940s. And she even mentioned Fatima. She said, my message here is the same as Fatima. This is in Lipa. And in the secret of Lipa was given on the 17th of October, 1949, just the same year that the communists took over China. And she said two things in the secret: that money would be used to corrupt the whole world. And we see how Freemasonry has used money. The Luciferian power has used money to corrupt everyone. It's a system of reward and punishment. You toe the line, do what you're told, otherwise you're going to be punished. You have a good job, a good position, but tomorrow you're going to be homeless if you don't do as you're expected to do. That's the one thing. The other thing is that China intends to invade, to conquer all the countries of the world. China intends to dominate the entire world, and this is in the secret of Lipa, 1949, and we see it happening now. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I mean, I've traveled through about 40 countries in the world, and even in the most remote village here in Ireland, there are Chinese. In Brazil, in the most remote places in the interior of Brazil. Chinese are everywhere.
Interesting. I've heard similar. I'm not surprised. They're also in Africa, as you know. They've built some of their ghost cities
yes.
there. So they are making a move. There's no doubt about it. We shall see. Father Paul Kramer, thank you very much for getting up. I really appreciate it. You have a lot of friends out there, and they listen to every word. So you have, again, done a very nice thing. Thank you. And we will hopefully talk again.
As Jesus Christ said, fear not, I have conquered the world.
Very good. Very good. Good night, Father Kramer. Take care. Get some sleep.
Good night. God bless.
Okay. Middle of the night over in very, very early in the morning, I guess, in the UK. 8 hours? 4 o'clock? Something like that. Hold on. We'll be right back.